that song. Go with this one. All right. Well, today's Mother's Day. And since the beginning of the preaching rotation, for some reason, it was tradition to start with for me to do the holidays. And I think now it's just a self-fulfilling prophecy by Dave. He just sees a holiday and he puts my name on it. So here we are. This is part two of the Mother's Day theme. From I don't know how many years ago, and if you remember what I spoke about how many years ago, heaven help you. Only thing I remember before I read what I'd done, the only thing I remembered was the top 10 list and picking on Jeff Brake. That's all I remembered from the sermon. He's not here to pick on today, so I guess we'll find somebody else to be a target. All right. Oh, I do. I do. And what upsets me is Blake's not here this morning. He texted me this morning. Blake usually does a top 10 list. He's at church with his mom. I'm like, well, you're missing a Blake Southall-esque top 10 list. So we'll just go right into it. Top 10 things our mothers taught us. Number one, and these are in no particular order. Mothers teach us about appreciating a job well done. Quote, if you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just finished cleaning in here. Mothers teach us about religion. You better pray this comes out of the carpet. Number three, mothers teach us about foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Number four, which is practiced at our house on occasion, mothers teach us about stamina. You'll sit there until all that spinach is gone, or whatever food it may be. Mothers teach us about weather. This room of yours looks like a tornado went through it. And that was our room growing up. Mothers teach us about the circle of life. I brought you in this world, and I can take you out. Mothers teach us about anticipation. Just wait until we get home. Mothers teach us about how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up, which explains why I never grew up. Mothers teach us about genetics. You act just like your father. And number 10, mothers teach us about justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Now, in all seriousness, mothers are more important to a child than we can ever articulate. We can never express how important it is. Working at a high school and seeing the successes and the failures of the raising of children, when a mother is active and when a mother is present, the child turns out so much better. And that is a big burden to carry. Mothers raise kids and raising them play a vital role in who they become and what kind of adult they become. Because the question is always, without a good mother, where does the kid end up? For today's lesson, I want to look at one particular mother. And I really feel like the Chris Hayes may have hacked into my iPad this morning. Because in class this morning, he referenced the topic of today's lesson. It's Mary, mother of Jesus. And just want to go through this. Mary started her journey as a mother as a very young woman. She was, by historical account, she was betrothed, so she would have been 12 to 14 years old. That's pretty young. And most of my readings this morning will come from Luke 1. So we'll have several verses, and just so you know, I have a Fitbit that is attached to my phone, and it's going to buzz throughout this whole lesson. I'm part of a group chat for a health update on somebody, and I've buzzed four times since I've been up here. So if I get distracted, please forgive me. But we're going to go to Luke 1. We're going to start with verses 26 through 34. So verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Now think about that. That's the greeting the 12 to 14-year-old gets from the angel. "Greetings, you who are highly favored." So what do you think, Neon? If the angel came and said that to me, I feel pretty good. I'm like, oh, this is going to go well right here. We're going to do all right. Let's go to verse 29. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, put yourself in that place, 12 to 14 years old. You just had an angel tell you that you're going to become pregnant, you're going to give birth to Jesus, Son of the Most High. A lot of questions. The most obvious ones in verse 34. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? So we see the divine conception here. We see how from the beginning this is the intent. But from Mary's standpoint, what kind of questions do you think she had at that point? What in the world is going on? Here she is. She's a girl. She's a virgin. And she's been tasked with raising the Savior, the Messiah. No pressure. You know? Just sitting there thinking, oh, I got this. This is no problem. I'm going to raise the Son of God to adulthood, and he's going to save mankind. Okay, no pressure. No need to worry about anything. No need to worry about what we're going to do to raise him. I'm sure she didn't have any kind of questions. But she did. Because that's obvious. That's the thing that we do. We question what's going on. But now she's been informed that the plan she had for her life has just been completely turned upside down. She's sitting there. She's betrothed to Joseph. She knows she's going to marry a carpenter. She knows she's going to have a family with him. They're going to raise a family together. Everything's going to be just like everybody else, like her mom, and mom before her. Everything's going to be normal. But Gabriel's come down and said, nope, that's not in the plans for you. That's not what God's plan is for you. She is now responsible for raising the most extraordinary. Her life has gone from ordinary to extraordinary because she's responsible for raising the man who will become the Savior of mankind. So after the angel explained to her what would happen, in verse 37, the angel said, for no word from God will ever fail. And in verse 38, here's the response from Mary. I'm the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. So the angel has said, no word from God will ever fail. Basically, he's saying, God's got your back. God's going to help you get through this. God's going to help you raise Jesus the way he needs to be raised. And Mary's response is, okay. We can do this. This is a 12 to 14-year-old girl saying, I got this. Wise beyond her years. So she has affirmed that she's going to be willing to do this. She has chosen to be fully and wholly in line with God's plan for her and her family. Let's put this in context. Mary knew she would be carrying out God's plan. What did she know that was... What she did not know is what the plan would look like. And she knew kind of what was going to happen. She knew that the path would bring suffering and maybe even death. But she did not know what would happen because she's not only got to think about that. She now has a fiancé out there who has been told, hey, by the way, your soon-to-be wife is pregnant. And think about how he's going to handle that. But God takes care of that and takes care of Joseph. And the faith that they had allowed them to follow the will of God. Now, in verse 39, things get a little bit, I would think a little bit weird if I'm a 12 to 14-year-old and this is what happens. So Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. So in verse 39, at the time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's house and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill promises to her. And all right, so Mary's gone to make a visit. She's visiting a family member. And this is that is the greeting she received. At that point, she had to know it just got real. This is for real. Okay, maybe she can attribute the the angel to a dream, but now here she is, and her family member has said, this is what's about to happen. Why am I so honored? She was not, and now she's not alone in that knowledge. She's not the only one that knows that she's carrying Jesus. And guess how she responds? She responds with a Magnificat. The words of this song speak for themselves. And at this time, I'm going to ask Matt to come up to lead us in singing the Magnificat. What a beautiful response. What a way to respond. And then to stand up here and listen. I know Eric and I get to, we sit back and we enjoy listening to the singing of everyone around here. Because the song's a beautiful song, but when this group gets together and sings it, it makes it even more special. But this is the response that Mary had to being told that she had this monumental task ahead of her. Every mother has pressure on them. Every mother has that pressure of raising that child from birth to adulthood, even all the way through adulthood, because once you're a mom, you're always a mom. That's just the way it is. Yes, I still get chastised every so often. Sometimes I just try to provoke it, but that's just me. But that's what we do. We're always going to, as long as mama's around, we're going to have somebody who's going to be our mom, and that's an awesome thing. The daily pressure of raising a child. There's a long checklist of what we have to do to raise a child to be successful as an adult. Some of them are just those little menial but monumental tasks of potty training or tying shoes, all the way to eternal salvation and becoming a positive influence in society. So you see how daunting a task this is. And now you got Mary. She's going to raise Jesus to be the Savior of man. Help lead him to a perfect life. help get him to the cross. So Mary's given this challenge, and she took the challenge head on. She didn't back down one bit. She said, okay, let's go. So in verses 46 through 49, which are the song we just sang, and Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." We've all met 12 to 14-year-olds. We have them here on Sunday night and Wednesday night, and I hear what's said in the 12 to 14-year-old class. It's nothing like this. This is a task that I don't think we can even fathom as what she was, the burden she was going to shoulder. But she continued to meet these demands for Jesus and with Jesus throughout her life and throughout his life. With all of these demands of motherhood, and especially knowing her son was who her son was in the context of humanity, she obeyed the commandments of God and raised Jesus to become the man that he became. And even to the end and beyond, she stood by him, stood by his teachings, and helped teach afterwards. John 19, we can see where she was fully supportive of her son to the bitter end. So in John 19, verses 25 through 27, we read, "But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home." So Mary stood by Jesus till the end and was supportive of his ministry and helped him spread the word. And Jesus made sure to take care of her after he was gone. That's how much that she meant to him. That's the role she played in his life. So much so that he wanted to take care of her after he was gone and after his departure. That's what mothers do. Mothers support their children in all that they do. Whether it's dance lessons, soccer games, award banquets, emergency room visits, whatever it may be, the good moms are going to be there. The good moms are going to be the ones who take care of their baby and going to be by their child's side. Mary is one of billions of mothers through the years. Just another one, if you look at it statistically. She had several bad things dealt against her. She was young. She was just betrothed. Yet she raised the greatest man in the history of the world with the help of her earthly father and importantly, with the help of a heavenly father. And to show the importance in raising him, Jesus made a point to provide for her after he was gone. Moms struggle every day with children. Some days are good, some days are bad. Sometimes you have 23 hours and 55 minutes of good and 5 minutes of bad. We've seen that. But in the end, the goal was to raise the best child we can, to raise a young woman who produced in society and carry that forward. And raise their own children and carry that forward for generations. It's important to know that what we do today has an impact years down the line. You know, they talk about the effect teachers have on students, but the effect that a parent has on their child will never go away. As kids, we say, "I'll never do that. I'll never do what my mom did. I'll never do what my dad did." And then we catch ourselves. We've said it. We've done it. But that's why we do it. It's because it was effective when it was done for us. And we're going to take that to the next generation. And then our children will do the same thing. As children of mothers, we should heed Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, which says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." So not only are we responsible for raising children, but we're responsible for being good children. We're responsible for honoring our parents, honoring our father and mother. No matter how difficult it may be for mothers, without the mothers that we had, we would not be who we are, and the world would not be the place it is today. The love of a mother reflects the love of God, the love that God has for us. God and mothers are willing to forgive us for our mistakes. No matter how bad they may seem, and the only thing they ask in return is our love. Mary was a young mother who was wise beyond her years. With this wisdom, she knew to have faith in God and with others to raise the greatest man to walk the earth. I want to close with two quotes that I found. First is Naya Rivera. You're always going to wonder if you're doing things wrong, but that's what it means to be a mom, to care so much about someone else that you just want to be as perfect as possible. And the second quote is a Jewish proverb. God could not be everywhere, and therefore he made mothers. Because it's amazing what moms know about you. That sixth sense, those eyes in the back of the head, the things they can hear across the house. Those are the things. Moms are there to take care of us. Moms are there to make sure that we are raised right and that we can carry it on to the next generation. Moms make a difference in the lives of children, no matter your age. So keep that in mind. And keep up the good work, moms, in raising the children and keeping us on the straight and narrow. So if you'll please stand, we'll sing the song of invitation.
Deeper than the ocean and wider than the sea.
Good morning, everyone. So you may notice that a few of our church members are walking like kind of like this today, after having a very full day of having a work day. I know many of you were here for part of the day, and some of you weren't able to make it. So just be careful when you're shaking people's hands today. They might be a little sore. They may because they worked really hard. I can't say that I worked really really hard. I was supervising Rich, so I was making sure that he was on task, and he was supervising him. So anyway, if you'll notice out back, we had a lot of our trees got trimmed back. Had several other projects that went on within the building, not necessarily too noticeable unless some of you go downstairs and look at some of the classrooms and other things. I appreciate so much the work that you guys put in yesterday getting a few things organized and ready. And obviously, they have a few things to finish. I think it's a non-ending process, right? So if you see some things that are on the list that need to be done and you have a little time, and want to drop by the building and just do a few things. There's a big dumpster out back, and you're welcome to just start and work on some of those projects during the week as we have time. Today is a big day for us. I don't know when we started doing this. How many years ago has it been since we've been doing the Mother's Day dinner? Was that fourth or fifth year? And we really just wanted it's a time for us to just honor the ladies, our mothers around here. They do so much work around the church, and they do so much work in our lives, and it was just a time that we can just get together, and they don't have to cook, they don't have to clean up afterwards, unless you really want to help, that'd be fine, but I'm kidding. So hopefully many of you will be here today. Hopefully the men will follow through on their commitments on what food they said they were going to bring. We're going to start at 5:30, but we'll have guys here probably starting about what? 2:30? Okay, so if anybody would like to come help put up tables, chairs, Eric, don't just show up this year. Come do a little work. All right, okay. Are you going to be here? You able to be here? Good. Sometimes Eric works on Sunday nights. So 2:30, if you want to come help decorate the tables, we'll have some guys cooking out back. If you want to bring your food, we can put them in the ovens and keep them warm or whatever. But they want to try to start at 5:30 so that we can eat and have our devotional tonight and then get home at a reasonable time. I have this card to read. It says, to the church family at Echo Hills, we want to thank you all for your concern, your cards, gifts, visits, and especially your prayers during this medical crisis I've been going through. It's been an ordeal, but I believe your thoughts have been a big part of my recovery. You are all a blessing to me and my family. Sharon Evelyn Crumpler. So we are thinking about you and praying about you. You guys have had a rough go of it for the past few weeks, and so we really want you to know we love you and care for you. I know that Kaylee's having surgery. Is it this week? 16th, so keep her in your prayers. Any additions to our prayer requests? Anybody new that we need to pray for? Hey, that's a good thing. Okay. Any other announcements that need to be made? My phone is not allowing me to get onto the bulletin. The bulletin was sent out this morning, but I don't know, there was something going on with my phone this morning. So anything that we've left off? Okay, let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll have our kids' song. Father God, I thank you so much for the day that you've given us. We appreciate, Father, the family that you have given us to serve with, to spend time with, to enjoy life with, also to struggle with. It is impossible to make it through this life alone. And we know, Father, that we have you, but we know that you have given us people in our lives who just give us such encouragement and strength. I'm thankful, Father, for the encouragement that I've received. And I know that everyone here who has struggled with anything is thankful for that encouragement, as Evelyn has expressed so greatly in this note that she's given us. She expresses our thoughts as we have these thoughts for each other. Father God, I ask that you just continue to watch over us and bless us as a congregation. We're grateful for the newcomers that we've had to come into our family. And we're just so thankful for the great spirit of love that they have brought here. We pray, Father, that you would help us to continue to get to know each other better, to love one another better, to spend more and more time together as we grow as a family. I'm mindful, Father, of Kaylee as she is going to be having surgery. We're thankful for her sweet spirit, and we ask that you would just bless her, bless the doctors and those that are waiting on her this week. Just give her, Father, such encouragement and love, and help us to be able to shower Jared and Meredith with thoughts and concerns and blessings. We're grateful, Father, this morning for our mothers. This is one of those holidays that we enjoy celebrating, because it gives us thoughts of our mothers and for what they have done for us. For those of us whose mothers have passed on, it gives us a time to just sit down and contemplate and think about the great mothers that we had and the lives that they lived before us and the way that they loved us and they cared about us. For those whose mothers are still alive, Father, we know that everyone can just take the opportunity to give them a hug and just say that we love them and are appreciative of all that they've done for us. Help us, Father, to always be an encouragement as the men in their life, to give them strength, to help to give them love, and help them, Father, to, as they struggle with certain things, just help us to be there for them and help them. As their children, Father, help them to just shower them with love and to appreciate all that they do, even though sometimes we may not understand it. We pray, Father, that you would watch over us today as we go away from this place and as we spend some time together as families today, that you would give us just a great time of fellowship, a great time of love and encouragement today. And help us as we come back together tonight, that we can enjoy this meal together, that we can enjoy this time together in our singing tonight, that you would just bless it. Help us, Father, to always honor and praise you with our lives and everything that we do. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. I wanted to say, before I forget, great job, brother. Great job. Good job, Johnny. Appreciate your words. Your mother came here to make sure you stayed straight on task. So, all right, what are we singing, kids? Okay, you leading it? Okay, Lucas is going to lead us in Blue Skies and Rainbows. Do we know that one? Blue Skies and Rainbows? I think we got that one. All right, Lucas, go.
Skies and rainbows and sunbeams from heaven are what I can see. When my Lord is living in me, I know that Jesus is well and alive today. He makes his home in my heart. Never more will I be all alone, says he. Promised he that we never would part.
Y'all are dismissed. Green grass and fire.
Hello.
Test, 1, 2, test. Test, 1, 2, test, 1, 2, testing. Testing, 1, 2, testing, 1, 2.
Yes, sir.